We're going to talk about edification. Romans chapter 14 and verse number 19 is where we're going to be reading as we start this evening. Romans chapter 14 and just one verse, verse number 19. Romans chapter 14 and verse 19. Let us therefore follow after the things which make for peace, and things wherewith one may edify another. I'm going to read it again because I'm used to reading a whole lot of verses and we're just reading one tonight. Let us therefore follow after the things which make for peace and things wherewith one may edify another. Let's go to the Lord together in prayer this evening. Now, God, we do thank you, Father, for our church family, the church congregation. Father, for this church body. We thank you for each and every one. Father, we thank you most of all for the Lord Jesus Christ who died on Calvary's cross to make our gathering here possible. Father, to make us one by the precious blood of Jesus Christ. I pray tonight, Father, you use your word to encourage us, to challenge us. Father, help us to be a blessing to one another. Help us, Father, to desire to be a blessing to one another. Give us some insight on this teaching of the Bible, teaching of edification. Show us what you have for us tonight, that, Father, we might yield ourselves to you and be responsible for being a blessing to somebody else. God, what a privilege it is. Not just to be blessed by God, but, Father, being used to be a blessing to someone else. And I pray that each and every one of us tonight might be able to make that claim that we have been a blessing to others. And so, Father, encourage us, challenge us, feed us tonight from your word. And for that which you do, we'll give you the praise and the glory in Jesus Christ's name. Amen.
Here in Romans chapter 14, the subject of Romans 14 is the weaker brother. Notice verse number 1, him that is weak in the faith, receive ye, but not to doubtful disputations. The entire chapter, Romans chapter 14, is about the weak brother. The first 12 verses of this chapter are about receiving one another. All right, the whole chapter is about our relationship one with another. Verses 1 through 12 about receiving one another. The rest of the verses, verse 13 to 23, about edifying one another. And it's that word edify that I want to focus on tonight. For the time that we have, and it appears there as we read it in verse number 19, and it says, let us therefore follow after the things which make for peace, and things wherewith one may edify another. We're going to look at this word edify tonight, do a lot of Bible turning, and I want you to get an idea of what the Bible has to say to us about edifying one another. First, I want you to get the definition of edify. So that we understand what the word means. It's not an unusual word, and yet we need to understand it. Does it mean to encourage? Does it mean to strengthen? Exactly what does the word edify mean? And according to the dictionary, it simply means to build up. To build up. We are to build up one another. Now, doesn't that say enough right in itself? I mean, a preacher could preach for a long time just on Christians building up one another. We live in sad times, and you know, one of the things that I appreciate and I'm blessed by is whenever I tackle subjects like this, edification, a lot of pastors have to get up and in their mind they know there's somebody in their church that's tearing somebody else down. They know there's somebody that's spreading gossip and rumors about somebody else. And so when they preach it, they've got to be on their guard that they don't name somebody or at least specify something or aim in on something. And I thank God for one of two things. Either that I'm completely ignorant and don't know what's going on, or number two, that it's not happening here. And I am a pretty firm believer that it's the latter, that it's not going on. And so it gives me the liberty to preach on something like this without feeling, you know, that I'm peeling somebody's hide specifically or doing something like that. Now, if it does happen, so be it. But as far as I know, I'm free from the blood of all men, not guilty, as I preach this evening. So the word edify means to build up, and it is a wonderful biblical truth that you and I are to build up one another. I think all of us have seen or experienced occasions where people were involved not in building up, but in destroying. For some reason, some Christian people seem to think it's their calling or it's their duty to destroy someone else. And that always amazes me. We are always to be charitable to one another. We're always to be helpful to one another. There are times where sin has to be dealt with. I understand that. But in the spirit of meekness, considering ourselves. And so edification is something that ought to come natural to us as the body of Christ, that we want to help one another. I know of instances, not involving our church, where someone just has it in for somebody else. They're both Christians, professing Christians, and yet one doesn't like the other, and so they nitpick or look for holes or things they can do, and then when they find it, they get on the phone and tell people what's going on and what they've discovered and what they've seen. What an ugly mess that is. And how the glory of God is diminished, and the testimony of the Word of God in the church is diminished by people that are not desirous to edify one another. Now, may I say this, and this is again free of charge, as I do most times, if the word edify appears in the Bible 20 times, and it's edify, edifieth, edified, edifying, edification, all the same word and the same truth, but it appears in our Bible, all in the New Testament, beginning in Acts chapter, I've got it here somewhere, and I'll remember where it is when I get there, Acts chapter 9. But from there to the end of the Bible, this word appears 20 times in Scripture. That makes it very wonderful as you're reading through your Bible to spot these times, or if you want to fast track it, to get a concordance out and look up the times that this word appears, and to get the meaning of the truth of edification down. Now, one reason that is such a blessing is because it's 20 times in the Bible you and I are holding in our hand. You know where I'm going when I get to this. It's not that way in any of the other Bibles. I took the NASV off my shelf and I ran the references for the 20 times that edifies appears in the Bible, and they've only used the word edify 11 of those 20 times. The other times they've chosen different words, different phrases, something else to use in place of the word edify. So if someone has a desire, when they come across that word edification, they say, I want to search the Scriptures and see what the Bible says about it, they're not going to get all of it. They're going to get 11 20ths of what they got. Well, that's the New American Standard Version, 1952. Then I took the New International Version from 1977, and out of the 20 times, they only used the word edify or some form of it 5 times. So the word is disappearing from the new translations of the Word of God. I don't have anything any newer to see what they've done from that point. But you see what they're doing as you look at this tonight and hopefully realize this is a wonderful, rich, encouraging Bible truth. They're destroying that truth from the Word of God by taking it out here and changing it there. In the NIV, instead of edifying, they use strengtheneth, constructive. In one verse, I couldn't even figure out what they did. I don't think they used the word at all because they just mangled it completely. We're missing the good Bible truths by messing with the Word of God. You and I have the privilege and the blessing of having this good old black book and going to it with the confidence that we're going to get everything God wants us to have out of it. That we don't have somebody messing with it and mangling it and changing it and taking the words out and all this kind of stuff. So we've got 20 references to run by to see what the Bible says about edification. We're not limited in our understanding of it. The definition of edify then is to build up. It says in Romans 14:19, wherewith one may edify another. All right, the purpose for us with one another is to receive one another. We're at different levels in our Christian walk. Some, when they first get saved, are learning things. Everything is brand new. Some of us are a little farther in our walk and been matured in the faith a little bit. Some of us are very mature in our faith and been at this thing a long time. And so the purpose for all of us is to edify one another, to build one another up, not to discourage and tear one another down. That's very obvious as we go to the second point. The first one, the definition of edify. Secondly, I want you to see the opposite of edify. Look at 2 Corinthians chapter 10. And of course, you know what it is just by the definition of the word. If edify means to build up, what is the opposite of edify? It means to destroy. It means to tear down. Why would anybody want to tear down another Christian? There's no reason outside of sin. There's no reason outside of maybe envy or pride that one Christian would want to tear down another one. The devil is good at that, and so you and I need to be careful when he sits on our shoulder, as it were, and whispers into our ear. You know, a lot of times, and it might not even be something terrible, a lot of times I'll hear somebody saying something about someone they admire in Christianity. And they say, oh, I think that person's a great Christian. I think that person is this or that. And I know in the back of my mind something that they struggle with, something that's whipped them every once in a while. You know, the last thing in the world I need to do is tell them, yeah, they're a great person, but. The minute I've done that is I have just reversed the gears of edification. I'm not building up. The minute I say, yeah, they're a good person, but I have planted the seed of destruction. And a wise Christian will look at me and say, you've got sin in your heart. You've got a problem there. Because the minute you and I want to destroy somebody else or tear them down, what's the purpose? And you know what it is. The only reason we ever tear anybody else down is to make ourselves higher than them. I mean, that's the natural tendency. The only reason to beat anybody else down a little bit is so that we come out looking a little bit better. Paul said, I will not do that. Look at 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verse number 8. 2 Corinthians 10, verse 8. Paul said this, for though I should boast somewhat more of our authority, he's talking to the church at Corinth, which the Lord hath given us for edification and not for your destruction, I should not be ashamed. Paul had to write some pretty harsh things to the church at Corinth. The first book of 1 Corinthians is all written about sin that they were allowing in the church and tolerating in the church. And Paul had to write that letter to rebuke them for it. But he said he did it in love, in a spirit of love, not to tear them down, not to destroy them, but to edify them and to build them up. And the end result was better than the beginning result. But Paul said, I have done it for your edification and not for your destruction. Notice in this same book in chapter 13 and verse number 10. Chapter 13 and verse 10. Therefore I write these things being absent, lest being present I should use sharpness, according to the power which the Lord hath given me to edification and not to destruction. All right, Paul twice in this epistle writes to this church with which he had to struggle and deal with some issues of sin. But he said, my heart's desire, my purpose was to build you up, not to tear you down. It was for edification, not for destruction. So we understand that the word edify is the opposite of destroy. It means to build someone up or be not an encouragement. I don't want to get caught using that word. But to be instrumental in lifting somebody, building somebody, getting them on their feet, encouraging them in their walk with the Lord. All right, number three, the responsibility to edify. Look at Ephesians chapter 4. Ephesians chapter 4. Now again, I'm either ignorant or it's not happening, but you've all probably been in churches or heard of churches. I don't know that I've ever been in one, but I've heard of churches where this side doesn't get along with that side. Or these people don't get along with those people. You know, that in a church body itself, there are schisms. In a church body itself, there are little cliques. And let me say this, cliques are not a bad thing. Now, it's not a good word for it, but sometimes within a church body, there are some people that we just click with, and that's where we get cliques. There's some people we just click with, and there's other people that we don't. We usually click with people that are our age, that have the same similarities and likes, even outside of church, and of course I mean in social things and stuff like that. But those things are going to be natural. That's going to happen. What we need to be careful of and guard ourselves is when those things become so important that we stick with this group as opposed to that group. Or in speaking against that group. And you've all seen, heard, or been in churches or civic organizations where people just do not get along that way. All right? The responsibility to edify, let's see where it rests. Ephesians chapter 4, verse number 11. Ephesians 4, verse 11. And he gave some apostles. All right? That's past tense. The apostles were here. They're not here anymore. And some prophets. The prophets were until John. They're not here anymore. He's talking about the offices he gave at the early parts of the church to get this thing moving and going. And now he says, and he gave some, and some evangelists, and we know what those are. We know a man that comes, we know people that come through, and their main emphasis is to evangelize. And then it says, and some pastors and teachers. You notice in the verse it doesn't say, and some pastors and some teachers. Alright, and that's the way the English language is put together. And some apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, some pastors and teachers. What is the job of the pastor and the teacher? And his job is both of those. All right, he's to lead as a pastor. He's to feed as a teacher. All right, he's to tend the flock as a pastor, and he's to teach the flock as a teacher. So the pastor's responsibility is a dual responsibility. It's not only being the pastor, which means shepherd, and that is visiting the people, comforting the people, seeing the people, encouraging the people, praying for the people, but also teaching them, also feeding them from the Word of God. Acts chapter 20, verse 28, the commandment was given for the leaders of the church to feed the flock of God, which was committed to their trust. All right, the purpose of doing that, of being the pastor, the teacher, is for verse 12, for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, thirdly, for the edifying of the body of Christ. All right, the responsibility to edify begins right here in the pulpit. The responsibility to edify begins right here at the pastor's job. Whether that's me filling this position now or whoever it'll be 50 years from now when I'm too old to do it. All right, that gives me a lot of time. Well, whoever it is 50 years from now, the responsibility to lead in this thing of edification needs to start from here, to building one another up in the faith. And a lot of that is done by the preaching of the Word of God. If we don't have this foundation underneath us, we can't build up anything. We can't build up one another if we don't have this undergirding everything. And again, the problem a lot of churches have with the schisms and the divisions and this thing and that thing is because they don't have this building them up. Over the years, they've been taught basic things or little things or something, but the structure of the Word of God is not there. I've had opportunity in the past to deal with different churches and get to know some people and talk to them, and I found out as I talked to them, they got a real problem within the church. They got a real problem of division between some people and other people, and it's because they have not been taught. They've not been grounded in the Word of God. They've not dealt with the sins within them, and so there's no edification. So it begins right here. The responsibility to edify begins with the pastor. But let me take it a little farther now. Let's look at the command to edify. Look at Romans chapter 15. Romans chapter 15. It begins in the pulpit, but it goes throughout the congregation. Every one of us is to edify. See, it's not just the guy that stands up there. It's not up to him to take the bull by the horns and encourage everybody out there and build everybody up out there. It's also the people in the pew. It's their responsibility to edify one another. And we do this thing together. Notice Romans chapter 15 and verse number 2. Let every one of us please his neighbor for his good to edification. All right? We are to help one another within the body of Christ. It says neighbor there. You know the whole parable, who is my neighbor, all that kind of stuff. But this is talking about the weak brother in chapter 14. It's talking about chapter 15, verse 1. We that are strong ought to bear the infirmities of the weak, not to please ourselves. Let every one of us please his neighbor for his good to edification. Not everybody dots their I's and crosses their T's the same way you do. Not everybody has the same convictions all the time that you do. I know one fellow that said he cannot go into a bowling alley because before his conversion, he played in bands that played in bowling alleys, and every time he goes in there, he just feels dirty. He just feels unclean. That's fine. When I go into a bowling alley, I just smell smoke. Now, of course, they've eliminated that, I think, and I haven't been in one since then. But I don't have a problem going into a bowling alley where someone else does. Now, it would be wrong for him to look down on me for going into it, but it would be wrong for me to look down on him for not going into it. And you know what a lot of Christians will do? They'll argue. They'll try to prove they're right and he's wrong. And the Bible says that we need to receive one another and edify one another, not even get in arguments over things. Now, they argued over holy days and new moons and Sabbaths. We argue over all kinds of other different things. And the Bible simply is saying that's not our purpose, that's not our goal. We are to edify, to build up one another, not to tear one another down. It's the command for all of us to do so. Look at 1 Corinthians chapter 14. 1 Corinthians 14. And there's so many illustrations you could give along that line, but at the same time, the minute you do, you touch on something that means something to somebody, and then you've kind of blown it out of proportion. So whatever it is, you know, different people have different convictions about different things. And unless we're talking about major doctrines or doctrines of the Bible says, every man to his own master standeth and falleth. We'll all be held accountable for what our convictions are before God. If you have a conviction or you have a persuasion about what's right and wrong and you think it's wrong to do and someone else does it, who is a Christian and serving God and doing it, and they do that, and we're not talking about sinful things, you understand. But you don't do it, and they do it. It's not because they're not the Christian you are. It's because they don't have the experience and background you had, and so they're not led in the same direction. And there's no reason for that to be an issue or a point. Some people will do things other people just are not comfortable with. Go to places and be around crowds that other people are not comfortable with. And you need to be careful in those things. 1 Corinthians chapter 14 and verse number 12. Paul said this, "Even so ye, for as much as ye are zealous of spiritual gifts, seek that ye may excel to the edifying of the church." Seek that ye may excel to the edifying of the church. There are two groups we're supposed to edify. The brethren and the body of Christ. Those are the two groups we're supposed to edify, the brethren and the body of Christ. We're going to talk in a minute about tongues and so forth, and that's self-edification, and God never recommends that. God never encourages that. The Word of God never encourages doing things that edify yourself. We are to edify the brethren. We're to edify the church. That's what we're here for. And verse 12 said, "Seek that ye may excel to the edification of the church." Your desire, my desire needs to be to build up the church. And I'm not talking about building up the numbers of it in this specific, but just building up the faith of our church. That needs to be our desire to do. Look at verse 26 in this same chapter. "How is it then," Paul says, "brethren, when you come together, every one of you hath a psalm, every one hath a doctrine, hath a tongue, hath a revelation, hath an interpretation. Let all things be done unto edifying." All right. The purpose of our gathering is to build one another up. The purpose of the preaching of the Word of God is to build one another up. You understand sometimes in the preaching of the Word of God, you got to tear things down to build it up. And that's what the Bible does sometimes. It looks deep into our heart and shows us our faults and our frailties and really just skins us and tears us down, then puts us back together again. And that's a blessing of the Word of God. It is... quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, dividing even to the asunder of the bones and marrow. I mean, it gets down, but it is an encouragement to us. Look back at Ephesians 4 again, if you would. Ephesians chapter 4 and verse number 29. The command to edify. All of us are given this command to be a blessing to one another, to build up one another in the faith. Verse number 29. Ephesians 4. "Let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth." Corrupt communication doesn't mean foul language. Corrupt is unwholesome. Corrupt is unnecessary. And a lot of times, you know, I still believe this challenge with all my heart. If we could record everything we say in a day's time, and then go home at night and play it back. Of course, we wouldn't get to bed very early. But if we played back everything we said with our mouth during that day and went back and listened to it on a tape recorder and edited out everything that was not necessary to say, I wonder what would be left on the tape. If we took out everything that was just basically filler, just basically information that for no reason, nothing need to be given out, said, anything like that. Listen to a conversation. It amazes me. Teenagers can get on the phone for a half an hour or 45 minutes. What in the world are you going to say for that much time? What are you going to say for 30 minutes for? I know what you're going to say. Corrupt communication. I don't mean dirty language. I don't mean foul things. I don't mean vulgar. I mean just stuff just to fill up the time and stay on the phone and have something to do. All right? That's what the Bible's talking about, saying be careful of what we say with our mouth. We need to, in the abundance of words, there wanteth not sin. The more that we talk, the more chance we have of saying something we probably shouldn't be saying. We've all come to that point where something came out of our mouth and we wanted to lasso it and get it back, and you can't do it once it happens that way. All right, let everything be done for edification. 1 Timothy chapter 1. The command to edify. 1 Timothy chapter 1. Verse number 14. That's not the right verse. It's verse 4. 1 Timothy chapter 1, verse number 4. The Bible says here, neither give heed to fables and endless genealogies. Okay, there's all that talking. Which minister questions rather than godly edifying, which is in faith. So do. See, notice what it says there. Knock out all the frivolous talk. And it says, rather do godly edifying, which is in faith. That's what you and I ought to do. That is a verse that's just mangled in the New International Version, where I couldn't even tell what they kept in and what they left out. It was just a mess. And what they left out, they put something like avoid the questions, and I can't even remember what it said because it's just too wild. But rather than godly edifying, which is in faith, so do. We have a commandment, we have a challenge to edify one another. One more verse, 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. Just back up a few pages. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 11. Wherefore, comfort yourselves together and edify one another. All right, just a simple statement. The Lord's desire is penned by the Apostle Paul for members of the body of Christ, for members of the church. Edify one another. We need to take that as a banner, take that as a challenge from God, that our lives would be used to edify one another. One of the greatest compliments you and I can have this side of glory is for someone to say, you have been an encouragement to me. You have set an example. You have helped build up my faith. That's one of the purposes we have. The command is given for you and I to edify one another. We've talked about the command to edify. The illustration of it is in 1 Corinthians chapter 14. And wouldn't you know it, this chapter is about tongues. 1 Corinthians chapter 14. And this chapter is the chapter that where the word edifies appears more than any other place in the Bible. It's 7 times just in this one chapter. Out of 20 times that it's in the Bible, 7 times, almost half, is right here in 1 Corinthians 14 in the chapter about tongues. And may I say this? Every time Paul uses that word, it's in contrast to tongues. It's not recommending tongues. It's not advising the use of tongues. But you read through 1 Corinthians chapter 14, and Paul is saying tongues cannot be used for the edification of the church or the edification of the brethren. It's just not used that way. 1 Corinthians chapter 14, it's in verse 3, 4, 5, 12, 19, all the way down through there. Look at verse number 3. He that prophesieth speaketh unto men to edification and exhortation and comfort. He's contrasting edification with tongues. All right, somebody that speaks in tongues is not edifying anybody. He says in verse 3, but he that prophesieth, giving out the word of God unto men to edification. Verse 4, he that speaketh in an unknown tongue edifieth himself. All right, that's where Paul's saying. All you're doing is building up your own faith. And the word edify is not supposed to be used for building yourself up. Jude used that word in verse number 20. He talked about building up yourself in the faith. Edification is intended for other people, for the brethren or for the body of Christ. Verse number 5, I would that you all spoke with tongues, but rather that you prophesied. For greater is he that prophesieth than he that speaketh with tongues, except he interpret that the church may receive edifying. All right, the purpose of our gathering is to edify, to build up one another in the faith. All right, and lastly, the result of edifying. And I like this. Look at Acts chapter 9. Acts chapter 9. What happens when a church practices edification? And it really, logic really is very easy to figure this out. When a church does not edify, when there are members within the body of Christ who find it their calling of God to destroy. And again, I don't know about you, but we've all been there or known somebody along that line. Carefully tiptoeing out into other areas. Over at the Christian school in Zanesville, since I've become, I don't even know if I told anybody, they hoodwinked me into becoming the president of the school board. I walked into a meeting a couple months ago and walked in, and the president resigned. And they said, all right, we need to find a new president. And they had all talked and conspired together before I got to the meeting, and they knew what they were going to do. And I walked in there just dumb as a dog, and they nominated me to be the president of the school board. Well, since that's happened, now I catch a lot more information of what's going on within the school and so forth. And now I'm finding out people that their desire, their intention is simply to destroy. There's people out there that just, I mean, they're just stupid. And I want to find a more charitable word. I'll give you an example, and I'm going to be very plain in it. Last year, these are illustrations, all right? These are free. Last year, they went on a trip to Chicago on the bus. And when they came back, one of the students, a junior high student, was in the back of the bus. And he came out and used vulgar language. He used curse words. Say, a junior high kid in a Christian school? Yes. He came out of the bathroom and he used foul language. One of the teachers got him and put him up against the wall. Not violently, not by testimony of everybody around him. He had told the kid, stop using that language. The kid mouthed off to him. So he put him up against the wall, said, I told you, don't use that language. Well, because he put him against the wall, of course, the kid goes home. You can imagine the story the dad got. Oh, that teacher, he just beat me up. He slammed my head against the wall. He did this, he did that. So the guy called the school. This is all before my involvement. Called the school. He said, you need to get rid of that teacher. You need to get rid of the school board president, the guy that was before me. This is a mess. We're going to get... And they investigated and looked into it and said, nobody did anything wrong. The kid was wrong. And the dad said, my kid told me the story and my son has never lied to me one day in his life. Okay? Y'all got the ignorant person mark now? My kid has never lied to me one time in their life. That's called a naive parent. That's saying, oh, your child has no sin nature. That's nice to know. Your child would never tell an untruth. That's a wonderful thing to find out. We've got the first one since the Lord Jesus Christ. The first one born in this world without sin. That's never told. That's a gullible father. That's all that is. So you know what he did? He called up and found out where the president of the school board lived. He went by with a baseball bat and demolished his mailbox. A Christian man, 60 years old. And he went out there and demolished the mailbox of the school board president. He wrote a letter to the principal of the school, whose name happens to be Neville, and he addressed the letter to Neville the Devil. This is a 60-year-old man. I can imagine an 8-year-old kid, but a 60-year-old man. Mr. Weaver is the superintendent. He wrote him a letter to Weaver the Deceiver. Now I'm sitting there thinking, you know, and they give me these letters because I'm the school board, and I'm reading these things. I'm thinking, this guy's a psycho. I mean, there's no two ways. His whole intention is to destroy and tear down and do things. And this is just one of the illustrations. There are some other things that are going on at the same time. And I look at this in amazement. And I think, and you know what? The funny thing is, one of the people said to me, they said, "Well, you probably deal with this all the time, being a pastor." And I looked at them and said, I've never dealt with this before in my lifetime. I've never had people calling, you know, Weaver the Deceiver and Neville the Devil and destroying mailboxes because, you know, this is new. To them, I guess it's an everyday occasion. To a lot of churches, that stuff happens all the time. You know what it is? It's losing focus of the whole purpose of our being. Our being right now as a Christian is to bring honor and glory to the Lord Jesus Christ. And that behavior is just unacceptable. For a Christian, it's just unacceptable. There's no glory going to God. It's just an insane person. That is 60 years old in body and 8 years old in mind and doesn't know what he's doing. And there's no edification. That someone would have a desire to destroy other Christians and their testimonies and their reputation just goes beyond me. And the Bible tells us that this destroys, and when it gets into churches, it tears down. Look at Acts chapter 9, verse number 31. Lord, if I shouldn't have said that, blot it out of the minds of everybody that heard it. Acts 9:31. Then had the churches rest throughout all Judea and Galilee and Samaria, and were edified, and walking in the fear of the Lord and in the comfort of the Holy Ghost, were multiplied. You know what that says? Edification leads to multiplication. Edification leads to multiplication. When we build one another up, it builds up the church. When we tear down or destroy one another, it tears down or destroys the church. Edification. When somebody comes into a church congregation and walks in and sees that it is a church that wants to edify one another, they can recognize that. They can feel that spirit when they come in. And I thank God, again, I think we have that spirit here by the testimony of people that come in to visit. I think they feel that here. And that's a wonderful thing we need to watch out and guard. That we're here for edification. One last verse, Ephesians chapter 4. Ephesians chapter 4, verse number 16. From whom the whole body fitly joined together and compacteth by that which every joint supplieth. I read that phrase today, and I couldn't get off of it. And there's Matt, Brother Ben. Somebody needs to preach on that. One of you guys. That's Brother Bob. That's a good one. Looking into the whom the whole body fitly joined. I'm reading that book on arthritis and the joints and all that kind of stuff. And man, God knew what He was talking about when He wrote that right there. And I don't have a handle on it yet, but I know there's a whole lot of stuff in that little phrase right there. From whom the whole body fitly joined together and compacteth by that which every joint supplieth. I'm trying to work on one, what every joint supplies. Joints in the Bible. There's no joint here. There's a joint here and there's a joint there. And they supply something to the body to make it function. Anyways, that's a whole different thing, but there's something really good in there. All right, by that which every joint supplieth, according to the effectual working in the measure of every part, maketh increase of the body. Increase of the body unto the edifying of itself in love. You know what makes it possible for us to edify? When we obey the command, love one another. That takes care of it. When we love one another, we will edify. You know, you don't talk bad about the people you love. That's just the way it is. You don't run down the people you love. You defend them, you build them up, you talk positive about them. All right, here we are, one body in Christ. And this new commandment I give, that you love one another. We edify one another in love, and it builds up the body. Jude verse 20 talks about building up yourselves, and it's the only time building yourself is mentioned other than those using tongues erroneously. But the word edify is used 20 times, and it's always on building somebody else up. Our challenge tonight from the Word of God is to focus on edifying somebody else. Building up somebody else. Being an encouragement, an exhortation, strengthening, building up somebody else. To get our eyes focused off of ourselves, because that's our nature as human beings, and our nature is with our old nature. And to work on being a bright spot in somebody else's day. An encouragement in somebody else's day. To pick up the phone and call them and say, hey, you know, I just thought maybe you're having a rough time today, and why don't you know I'm praying for you. To send an email along that line sometime. I've gotten them before. I don't know if, I hope you have. I've gotten them before, and they make my day. To edify one another. Let's stand together this evening with our heads bowed and our eyes closed. Our Father, tonight we are thankful for the wonderful biblical truth of edification. Father, not just of the word and its definition and its academic meaning, but Father, the practice of edification, of building one another up in faith. Father, being a positive influence on others, setting an example, being an encouragement. Father, all these things come under edifying. And Father, we pray you would challenge us to be more aware of our need to edify one another. Father, I do thank you for a church body that, again, as far as I see from the outside, does not struggle with this thing of edification. That, Father, we do have love one for another. That, Father, we do edify. And I pray, Father, you would strengthen us in that edification, make it even more real to us. And Father, help us to be obedient to you in all that we do and pleasing to you. And Father, I pray that when you look upon us individually and when you look upon our church, that we bring pleasure to you and a smile to your face. Father, help us to strive to edify. For we ask it in Jesus Christ's name. Amen.